Welcome to the Red, White, and Rude, where we slam Hollywood's flops harder than the Rock smacking Stone Cold with a folding chair at WrestleMania. Man, I go back a ways, don't I? On the red carpet this week, the Fantastic Four's late reshoots are rocking the Disney Marvel Cinematic Universe. Why? Well, the Fantastic Four is the first launch in the Marvel Universe's Phase 6 in movies, and it's supposed to save the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Why? Phase 5 was nothing but flop after flop after flop after flop, and I could go on and on. Meanwhile, moving on to streaming, we're going to talk about The Last of Us Season 2 viewership. And it's tanking faster than Joel's worst day. And what's worse than a zombie buffet when Joel is the buffet? Moving on, have you all seen the new season of Doctor Who? Did you know it launched? If you said who? When? I understand. Most have tuned out. Why? They're sick and tired of the woke preaching. Woke this, woke that. Racist this, bigot this. I wish they would just look in the mirror. Then they'd really see who the racists and the bigots are. I mean, even the most faithful are changing channels. That was me 7-8 years ago now. But we can't leave out the rating numbers without talking about some fake news this week, as Jen Psaki's MSNBC briefing is a ratings dud. And speaking of duds, or more specifically, a gaming flop, South of Midnight's player count is deader than a zombie wasteland. Put that joystick down, my friends, because it's time for a cultural cage match that'll make Ric Flair go, woo! Welcome, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you like and share this podcast. This conservative Latino can't grow without it, as well as every one of our other podcasts. We have sports podcasts. That's just plain sports. No politics involved. Some football, some basketball. We have libertarian podcasts. We're expanding that. We love the love we're getting from libertarians. And we have two shows on that. And there's a couple of political shows I have for you conservatives that I proudly host. And if you get a chance and you're not a fan of this Pope, check out my last Fired Up episode 79, where I get down and dirty with this Pope. If you're Catholic, you may want to avoid it. But as a former Catholic, I had to give my 2 cents. Before I go on and we get into the show, as you heard what I will be talking about this evening, going to be talking some movies, some streaming, and some gaming. And then I'll close it out with what I call the Rude Rundown, where I tackle in a quick lightning round format some of the stories that are going around the nation. Before I get to it, though, make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora with the profile handle Grumblings Media. So, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. It'll be past once you see this, but happy Mother's Day belatedly to every mother out there and to my supporters. You moms out there, make sure your kids are listening to this important stuff. Can't allow them to get woke and indoctrinated. You are the first step to stopping that. And with people like me to help you along, we will win that battle. So let's get to it. First up, we're going to talk about some movies. And we're going to talk about The Fantastic Four. I got to take these glasses off today. Excuse me. The Fantastic Four. The first step faces late stage reshoot. And that's raising concerns, as I said earlier. So, And I was a little tongue-tied there. It's Fantastic Four First Steps. It's scheduled for release this July, July 25th, if I'm correct, but it's undergoing reshoots. We are, around May 10th? We got a little bit over 2 months. I mean, that's massive news, you know, unless it's some minor reshoots. And to be quite honest, in defense of Marvel, it has to be minor. They can't be doing big reshoots at this point. And as I said in my opening, This movie is positioned as a potential savior for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So these late stage reshoots are raising questions. And you know, we live in an era, you gotta keep talking about something. So this is more news for fodder. I'm reporting it because it is big news. I hope, I don't care. I was gonna say, I hope it's not big heavy reshoots. I don't care. Why don't I care? Sue Reed is a feminazi based on what the actress said. I mean, heck, we already know Pedro Pascal is a woman. I'm kidding, he's not. But I mean, he's so up and into the transgender because of his family, and he brings those. I'm worried he maybe brings some of that leftism that's Pedro into Mr. Fantastic. So let's hope that's not the case. But Johnny Storm is not going to be the I don't say Playboy, but the girl killer he was in the comics. And so, you know, it's already changing things around. So I'm like, I'm out. You know, I'll wait for the reviews to see how woke it is. Maybe it isn't woke. Maybe I'm just looking too deep into it. But that said, the filming reshoots were in L.A. Right now, the shoot scenes that people have seen that have come out, it's from Julia Garner. She's playing Shalabal. It's a female Silver Surfer. And again, that's another, actually, that is why I'm out. Silver Surfer is male. Shalabal had like this one little storyline. I think somebody dreamed it that she was a Silver Surfer or something, or briefly was. And that's the wokeism coming out. Look, Marvel just doesn't get it. They just don't get it. You know, and what irks me is minorities are the worst of the lot. How dare you culturally appropriate that character? Then when they do it, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? The big deal is it's not canon. This is not Fantastic Four. It's like the last Fantastic Four that it went woke too, you know. And I just will not support, and I urge you not to support anything that's woke. Anyway, Shia LaBeouf's photos. I guess there's nothing Silver Surfer, just her as a human in some dress. So there's no board, there's no motion capture gear. So who knows what it is, but that would make the shoot much easier to do because you're not talking CGI getting involved. But the extent of these reshoots is unclear. The timing raises concerns over how good the CGI can be. Captain America Brave New World was terrible with some of the CGI for some people. They thought it was inconsistent, looked shaky, did not look good. You know, there was some beautiful CGI done 15, 20 years ago that stands up to today. It seems like we've gotten lazier. We're willing to – there's a lot of mediocrity in the Marvel Universe right now, and they need to clean that up, you know. But regardless, this is an alarming sign for fans who are pimping the movie out hard. But for visual effects and heavy blockbusters, reshoots close to release, it's typical having major issues based off the recent past. To me, that doesn't really make sense. It doesn't matter if it's a blockbuster or not. But when you start going to reshoots that close, there is legit concern. Now, a little tidbit on the movie. Some insiders suggest the film may end with the destruction of the Fantastic Four's timeline, and that could set us up for Avengers Doomsday and Secret Wars to streamline the MCU's multiverse narrative. You know, there was a time when I was like, oh my God, I can't wait till they make these into movies. But then they just screw it up. You know, it's give me Deadpool and Wolverine type movies. It's just simple closed movies. You know, if they take years, they have different writers for different movies when they try to time together. But the biggest thing is just the wokeness shoved down my throat. Yeah. So again, as I was saying with Captain America Brave New World, that faced extensive reshoots and that led to a poorly received film that did not make its money back. It was one of the worst performing summer Marvel films. That wasn't really Marvel. It was one of the worst performing Marvel films. Failed at the box office despite heavy marketing. Look, Sam Wilson played Captain America briefly in the comic book. Now they want to build a whole world around it because we're living in a woke era. Captain America is Steve Rogers, period. End of story. Nobody else will ever be Captain America. So, Just to let you guys know, this stars Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, and Evan Moss Bachrach as Ben Grimm, the Thing. Julie Garner's playing Shalabal. That's the culturally appropriate, no, I'm kidding, but gender swapped Silver Surfer, and that's creating a lot of anger and hate. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. It's just Disney shoving their crap down our throat. So late stage reshoots for Fantastic Four First Steps is going to create movie fodder in terms of the online talk. Maybe they want that. Maybe they like it, you know, get some talk. This isn't bad. It's not like it's bad news, but the impact of these changes remains unclear, and we're going to have to wait until July 25th to see the results. Let's move on. I don't want to beat a dead horse there. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to pay a dime. I'll never pay a dime to see Pedro Pascal. Screw him. Speaking of him, The Last of Us Season 2 viewership drops amid adaption struggles. You know, before I move on to that, Pedro Pascal, he's like the it guy right now. That guy's in everything the last 3-4 years. Like, I hope Gladiator 2 was a financial flop, you know. The Last of Us is struggling. Fantastic Four will struggle, you know. But then again, we don't watch movies anymore for stars. We tend to watch it for the content. And with so much out there to watch, we really don't care about mediocrity. And he's given us a lot of mediocrity. And The Last of Us Season 2 appears to be heading down that road. So what happened is, in The Last of Us, if it's been following the game, I guess pretty closely compared to most adaptions, but most people who were watching it, I guess, did not understand, don't play the game. And what happened here is they followed the canon of the game. And Joel, played by Pascal, I had to check something out of my notes here. I apologize. I don't know if y'all noticed it. But so sidelining Joel, and then they're not pushing. See, here's where I disagree with some of those who are saying, well, they're pushing diversity. You know, the game was pretty diverse. It's pretty woke, you know. And the problem to you, those of you who don't understand the anger, is it's been shoved down our throats so much that even when it's not purposely done, it comes across as being shoved down our throats. And I got to be honest, this is that one little girl, she looks like a man. I mean, facially, oof. It's that doesn't help neither. We're going to talk about her in a moment. But so the sidelining of him, it was devastating to those who don't play the game. And they don't understand that in the game, Joe dies. And it has affected the ratings devastatingly. So in season one, the premiere garnered 8.2 million viewers. The finale, 9.3 million viewers. The premiere in season two, 5.1 million. That's a 38% drop. The second episode, 4.3 million. That's a 48% drop from season one, second episode. So the third episode, 3.8 million, it's just the decline has continued. They have suffered major losses among 18 to 49-year-old viewers. That's the game's core fan base. And I think they tried to give it a shot, season one. They stuck to it. And then they were done. It's like, you know, I did that with Halo. I saw season one. And I was like, I'm done. It's like, I heard season two was better. But all you had to do, Paramount, was follow the damn game. And you would have had a massive worldwide hit. Instead, you put your woke crap, your storylines, you castrate them in certain ways. You make that little girl, you make Master Chief dumb as a rock, and the little girl is the only smart individual around. It was terrible. So back to The Last of Us. There were major losses of the 18 to 49-year-old demographic, and we know why. They're tired. They have, over the last few years, they're tired of the wokeness. They're tired of that. But that said, this loss weren't just the gamers. They were the non-gamers. I would sit there and guess, speculate that. They probably lost more the non-gamers because the gamers who play this knew what was coming. Rotten Tomatoes, 47%. Season 2, it's down from 87% for season 1. Metacritic 3.9 is down from 6.6. This is a show, and there's been other shows in history have done well and then just have tanked the second season. But so some people view it as canon betrayal. Sorry about that. As canon betrayal. Let me shut that off. It's Mother's Day. Tons of Mother's Day posts, not to me, but just when you're in the family chat. So anyway, Joel's early death, and some people say it was rushed into season 2. It was some altered contacts, and they slashed his role, and the game's masculine core did not like that. So then you add that with Ellie's queer arc with Dina overshadowing the survival and revenge, and it's diluting the grit of the game. Take it for what it's worth. I can't sit there and say I disagree or agree because of the way it's following the game. But when you do take the masculinity out of it, that can't happen. It's like 911. There's not one strong white heterosexual male. The white on there is bisexual, and that's it. Everybody else is they have 911 is represented the real life by the L.A. firefighters who are all lesbians with him. I used to watch it, but then I was like, enough, just had enough. Once they turned buck, I'm like, I'm gone. And I left, I stopped watching. But then my point is people want to identify with characters. White people want to identify as well as black, Asian, or whatnot. And taking the masculine role may hurt ratings. The ratings, for some reason, were dying already. You know, and I guess some of them thought that they neutered Joe's character as it was entering season 2 anyway. But regardless, you have Abby's casting and arc. It's, you know, some people feel it's just diversity shoved down their throats, true or not. And they feel, even if it's not, they feel like it's forced. They're pandering. And it's alienating some fans of the game's raw intensity. And the show, they say, lacks some of Joe's stoic heroism. That they traded Joe's strength for preachy narratives is how some people are looking at it. And at the end of the day, as you see, the ratings are down massively. You know, you combine that with we are in a woke, and I'm happy we're here. We are in a woke backlash. And they may feeling some of the repercussions of that, fair or not. Season 1's gay romance with Bill and Frank, that was tolerated. But season 2's amplified push. You know, even the most liberal conservatives are saying enough. Here's a game fan on X said, done with HBO shoving politics, unquote. So I'm here to report the fact that dropping the ratings and all of this, I just wouldn't watch that. It's not my cup of tea, and I'm a zombie guy. But I got to be honest, The Walking Dead didn't do much for me. You know, I think I may be past the zombie phase. The Train to Busan is one of the greatest zombie movies ever made. And the sequel just came out on Netflix. I haven't hit press to watch. So I think my taste right now isn't into zombie. But at the end of the day, it's still a strong going genre, but not in The Last of Us. I did want to sit there and give this analogy. As a child, I watched Jaws, and that was based off of Peter Benchley's 1974 novel. And there was a character in the movie called Matt Hooper that was played by Richard Dreyfuss, 28 years old, young, not the old guy you see now. And he was a very likable character. I remember there's a scene, and I'm like, oh, don't die, don't die, don't die, because I had not read the book. But in the book, he does die. But then they did the test audience. No, no, not Hooper, no, no. So they changed the movie and he lived in the movie. So this brings my point up. I'm a stickler for canon. But when somebody dies who you like, that's integral, I'm like, that doesn't come till the end of the series or something like that. Hold off, you know. Or you work around it and then you add the canon at the end, you kind of skip the whole part. You know what I mean? But see, and kudos to the showrunners here. They stuck to the game's divisive death from the game. And they brought it into the movie. But with the TV adaption, it kind of botches it, screws it up, as we're seeing. alienating the fans, and again, the only rugged role on there. So they're talking about he'll be back a lot in flashbacks. He's, you know, I've read that before, and usually the first few episodes that happens, then they move on. So IMDb score season 2 average of a 6.2 out of 10 versus an 8.8 out of 10 for season 1. The hashtag The Last of Us Sucks did trend for a little while. Mazin defends the show, claiming game fidelity, and Druckmann insists on story integrity. I can't argue with those two. I mean, but however, the show's at risk of cancellation now as viewership is plummeting. And I think part of it's the heavy focus on the progressivism, the lesbians. You know, you can't lose conservative and game fans and hope for the survival. I did a lot of research into this, and these are the same things that I came up with because I don't watch it. But the ratings drop and the woke culture, that's what attracted me to the storyline. So I will say this. I am a stickler for canon of the games. And because this game was so woke, I'm willing to give it a pass and tell you fans, look, stick with it if it's good story writing. Check it out, see how it goes. Me, I wouldn't regardless because I'm not going to buy a game that everybody's woke or gay, you know. And the game was put out with a purpose of promoting that itself. And they managed to hit all the ingredients. I think the show, season 1, blew the game up and kind of repopularized it. So I don't know if a sequel of the game. I think they want to make it more and more sequels. Hey, this is America. They will have Last of Us 3, 4, 5. You know, as long as it makes money. But I don't know if this one has those legs, you know. My point is, I don't know if The Last of Us 3 will do as well based off everything that's happening, how we're going back to more traditional values, etc. But we'll see. I could be wrong. The Last of Us Season 2 tanks as fans reject Hollywood's woke gutting of the game soul, which is Pedro Pascal's character, Joel. But that said, in defense of the game or the show, he dies in the game. HBO's refusal to listen, or rather to create some testing here, some focus groups, could end up burying the show. I mean, they were all on cloud nine with these numbers, and now they got it's just another show. But maybe the cost is good enough. They'll have a season 3. I wouldn't be shocked if they already renewed it based off of season 1. They do that sometimes. But we'll see. I would not be shocked if they canceled it. Let's move on to a show we know is woke, that was never woke, that has been hijacked by wokeness, and that's Doctor Who. The backlash of a progressive messaging is still there, and it's showing in the numbers. So Russell T. Davis, he's the showrunner. They call him the creator. He's not the creator of Doctor Who. He just brought it back to life. I hate it when they play that crap. So Russell T. Davis and Disney's meddling has turned a sci-fi classic into nothing but a damn lecture hall. And they have paid the price year after year after year after year. The showrunners are telling fans, shut up and listen and enjoy it. Period. And if you think that's how we're going to take it, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. And you will feel that. There was a time where it was like, shut up and watch it. They would. Not anymore. There's so much television out there to watch. You know, it's like when I look at my Netflix and Amazon, I'm wondering, that's like the tip of the iceberg. At the end of the day, we all know that it's like shows I don't even see coming on the screen. How many good shows am I missing because they're trying to shove this woke crap on my screen? But anyway, back to this loser of a show, Doctor Who. It stars Nikuti Gatwa. He's the 15th Doctor. Varada Sethu as a companion. Belinda Chandra under showrunner Russell T. Davis, who came back. For the record, I stopped watching with Peter Capaldi. I just started noticing that woke trend, you know? Excuse me. Now, Disney got the streaming rights in 2023, and some people actually had the audacity to go, man, I'm worrying Disney's going to screw it up. Screw it up, they're just streaming it. The UK and Russell G. Davis screwed it up years ago now with that nonsense out here. I'm not a fan of Disney. What I wanted to point out to y'all is how badly it's dropped. The story in the engine that premiered, that was May 10th, this past week, 1.59 million overnight. Now that is slightly up from the 1.5 million for the previous episode, but down from the season premiere, which got 2 million. These are paltry numbers, no matter how you slice it. Now, it gets a little better when you consolidate the plus 7 ratings. That includes everything across the board. You know, the delays, people watch it another day. So you're talking a ratings up from 3.2 to 3.6 million. You know, however, let's compare this to some previous years. So The Robot Revolution, 2 million overnight, 3.6 million with the plus 7. 1.58 million, episode 2. I'm not going to do this. We're just going to do the overnights. I mean, not the overnights, but the plus 7. It means everything encompassed. The season premiere, 3.6. Episode 2, 3.2. Episode 3, well, that they don't have the plus 7s, only for the first two. So let me backtrack. God dang it, I hate it when I do that. 2 million for the premiere overnight. 1.58 for the second episode. 1.9 for the third, 1.5. So it's trending right around 1.5 to 2 million in overnights. So you figure the plus sevens trending right about 3.5. You know, so combined, they're averaging overnights 1.67 million. We're a country of 350 million. Only 1.67 million are watching it. It's down 34% from season 14. 34%. So it's one third of the viewership has left it. Disney is panicking right now. They were promised show growth and better numbers than this. Season 15's 2.0 million premiere is the lowest season premiere overnight since the 2005 revival. And that's when the internet streaming wasn't even around then. So there was a greater chance of bigger numbers because it was less ways to watch it. People would tune in on the few ways to watch it. Series 14, last year, 4 million plus 7. So this one here was 3.5 or 3.6. So they lost 400,000. Man. Season 14's numbers were boosted by Gotwa's debut, actually, his first year. And it still hit lows, showing early signs of discontent. The previous doctor, Jodie Whittaker, the female doctor, again, another woke edition, purposely done that way, that did have big numbers. Women tuned in. It was a big event, 8.2 million. So see how far it's fallen? 3.5 to 8.2. And this was just in 2018. Whittaker's era also saw steady declines. And it was blamed on, righteously and rightfully blamed on, politicized storytelling. So series 15 is the current series. 2.2 million overnight premiered is 23% lower than series 14's. At the end of the day, it's at historic lows, this show. It's dying. It's dying a slow, slow death. They may keep it going. You know, they may keep it going. I don't know, but they may. I mean, the fans have been blasting it. They're saying it's nothing but a continuing trend of negativity, of wokeness. You know, look, casting, whether you like it or not, casting the woman, the woke white guy, then the woman, then the woke black guy, you see the pattern. And Russell T. Davis did come out and say, look, my job is to promote LGBTQ. That's my only goal now. That's pretty much what he said. And then how do we know? Well, you have the heavy-handed narratives that prioritize ideology over story. And that's why fans are leaving. Some outlets have said, look, we're done being lectured to. Now, Russell T. Davis is the guy who's demanding, shut up and watch. And that's from an interview this past May. He defends the progressive themes as true to the show's history. The show was progressive, but it wasn't woke, and there is a difference. See, he's trying to conflate the two. No, they are different. You know, he's hoping that Disney Plus's global reach will help the show, and it's not. You know, and he says we're in the minority. No, we're not in the minority. As you're seeing, the real minority are the ones who are sticking to watch the show because you are at historic lows, Russell T. So come on. So this is typical Disney crap, though. I don't think there's any Disney influence, but they got the perfect channel because Disney's amplifying preachy narratives. They're marrying Star Wars and Marvel missteps they're marrying Star Wars and a lot of Marvel's missteps. Even Warner Brothers with Blue Beetle. That's another one I couldn't finish watching. These are corporate driven and ideological driven assaults on us conservatives, and we've had enough. The Exodus is there, it's clear, and the ratings show this. Doctor Who fans are rejecting the woke sermonizing. I suppose the God, and God said you need to be woke. You combine that with Davey's defiance, boy, just shut up and watch. When you come to the Doctor Who plantation, you come to shut up and watch. You're sermonizing, demanding ideological love. You will pray to the woke gods. RuPaul, Barbara Streisand. So Russell Davies' defiance, the lead character, the current Doctor Who's buffoonery in terms of how he doesn't know how to handle his audience, and Disney's pathetic grip on wokeness that they can't let go has destroyed this brand. This brand is dead. It's not, it could sink a cherished franchise or cherished brand. It's dead. Let's move on. Jen Psaki's MSNBC show suffers a ratings drop. How can you suffer a ratings drop at MSNBC? Well, Jen Psaki does. So Jen Psaki has a new primetime show called The Briefing. And I think it's a take, an offshoot of her being the White House press speaker, you know. But it tanked on the second episode. She was the Biden White House press secretary from January of 2021 to May of 2022. She just did it for a year. And then she went to MSNBC. She finally got her primetime show, The Briefing, on May 7th. I'm like, the Bears, The Briefing, on May 7th. Of this year. She was replacing Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow is MSNBC's top draw. She would only be number four or five, maybe five or six over at Fox. But she's their top draw. And in her contract, God bless this woman. Whoever her agent was, that man deserves a massive raise. She only works once a week with a $25 million contract. It was once a week with a $30 million contract. But she felt pity. MSNBC's hurting. They're about to be spun off. I'll scale back my contract. We'll go from $30 million to $25 million. So she's only doing Mondays. You know, she covered Trump's first 100 days every day. Now she's only doing Mondays. So Rebecca Kutler, who does not get it, same as CNN, you have to just wipe the slate clean and fire everybody. Eat it and just bring in new talent that is charismatic, attractive, and is neutral, unbiased. You know, or bring in a hefty share of true conservatives. The Michael Steels of the world, they're not conservative. Please. Please. So, Rebecca Cutler's the new MSNBC president since February. She's betting on Psaki's insider status to hold the prime time. That moron Brett bet wrong. So, the first episode saw 1.2 million. Yeah, 1.2 million. In the coveted demographic, 139,000. So that's 25 to 54, from 18 to 49 to 113,000. The second episode dropped to barely a million. 65,000. And then, well, first of all, the million drop, that's a 16% drop from episode one to episode two. And then in the demographic, 53% drop. And that's a 25 to 54. From the 18 to 49, 67% drop. They're not liking that redhead. They're like, damn, who's that ugly step-headed redhead? Who's that? What's that saying? Who's that ugly redheaded stepchild? That's how they're viewing her. Yeah. Just to give you an idea, Fox News is Sean Hannity, 2.6 million total viewers. But more importantly, 312,000 in that demo. And to show you how he's king, Caitlin Collins, 468,000 total viewers, 75,000 in the demo. her Wednesday show, her third show, trailed 38 cable news programs in the 25 to 54 demographic, including every single Fox News show, 13 CNN programs, and 7 MSNBC shows. It's the lowest MSNBC rated 9 o'clock show on Wednesday in the 25 to 54 demo since 2024 and Alex Wagner's 40,000 viewers. So you got it's one thing to hear from 20 years ago. It's another thing to hear from last year that they're dying. They are dying over there. So Maddow's slot averaged 2.1 million total viewers and 177,000 in the 25 to 54 demo. So this is obviously a shrinking audience MSNBC is dealing with. And it's projected to fall from 68.5 million subscribers, probably cable subscribers, to 69, 61. So they're shedding viewers. MSNBC's dying. Cutler's pushing Psaki. Why? I don't know. They're spinning off from Comcast and from NBC. Comcast owns NBC Universal. NBC's spinning them off. You know, they've been shedding salaries. They're going to have to figure out what to. See, they're never going to sell with Rachel Maddow under contract. Never. CNN tried to sell. They couldn't. I mean, all those heavy contracts and nobody's watching. Enjoy it, because the golden age of fat contracts with no viewership is coming to an end, Rachel Maddow. And MSNBC, you're going to start seeing the high-end anchors earning $1 million, $2 million a year. They can get a no-name and do just as well as Maddow. Oh, maybe not. Jen Psaki could get it. But they could do as well as the rest of them. You know, it's Trump's 100 days, they marketed that well enough to where people were starting to watch. But even if Maddow comes out back now, you're going to see her numbers, her once-a-week numbers. It's just terrible, terrible. She's like a podcast now, once-a-week podcast, Rachel Maddow. And Psaki, I don't see Psaki long. I see within a few months they pull her off the air. You're going to be our roving reporter or our analyst for the next 3 years until that contract ends. Then we're kicking the ugly step-headed, the ugly red-headed stepchild to the side, to the curb. So, to close it out, the briefing may as well have been carrying a bomb in there, because that briefcase is done. It's toast. People are tired of the same old recycled liberal takes. Recycled liberal spit. MSNBC's clueless when it comes to knowing how to pivot. And they will no longer have primetime relevance. There you have it. Movies and TV and streaming. Let's move on to the gaming industry. South of Midnight Sinks. Look, it's a small game, granted, but lots of hype. The player drop-offs signal the narrative backlash. Look, South of Midnight was developed by Compulsion Games with narrative consultation from Sweet Baby Inc., an extremely woke entity that I don't know if it's true, but allegedly, literally would blackmail companies to hire them. Well, if you don't hire us, we're going to kill you. We're going to doom you. And the reason I say that is that came out with Black Myth Wukong. Supposedly, they wanted $6 million to consult for them, and Black Myth Wukong said, go take a hike. Don't mess with those Far East gamers. They are gaming companies. They don't care. And 20 million copies sold in a month. I don't think they need a Sweet Baby Inc. South of Midnight could have done much better without them. So, the Steam player engagement, that monitors how many people are playing the game online. It fell sharply within 1 month. Launched a day one Xbox Game Pass title. They were trying to pump it up. Look how many people are playing it. Or have downloaded. Downloading and playing are two different things. And the game was heavily promoted by Microsoft. So, and this is depressing, because I would have loved to have checked it out, because having moved to the South North Carolina would have been great. It's Southern Gothic folklore themes. It blends the supernatural elements with stop-motion inspired art style. You know, Suki Stackhouse, that was a vampire series set in the South. I loved it. Oh, man. Charlene Harris was a great writer for that series. You know, so it was released in April. It's been highlighted and heavily promoted, peaked at 1,400 concurrent players. So 1,438 players were playing it at the same time. The moment Microsoft saw that, so we were like, oh. Why me? Is what they were saying. Well, why you? Because you went with Sweet Baby Inc. Killed it. We conservatives know how to boycott. We conservatives know how to tell other people, don't buy that woke garbage. And I would suspect that's what conservatives did here from day one. And that, you think that? So that's at launch, 1,400. How's it doing, boss? Is there a chance for redemption? Do we have any hope? I don't know. We only have 162 concurrent players. 1 month after post release. Why do I keep saying Sweet Baby? They kill games. They consulted on narrative elements, emphasizing tone, pronouns, theme, gay, lesbian, character representation. Nothing but minorities, I bet. Though I saw some of the game thing, and I think it's a black chick who's there, which we don't care. But when you shove it down the person's throat, we just stop buying. We go, no. Because I play as a woman in a couple games all the time. I don't care. I like the traits, and, you know, it's a game. Yeah, and this isn't just this game alone. There's other games Sweet Baby Inc. has helped destroy. Suicide Squad. 200 million in losses because of poor sales and player retention. Goodbye Volcano High. It's mocked for its political themes and cringeworthy dialogue. Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance. Commercial failure. That can, and that helped with the studio bankruptcy and closure. And that was linked to Sweet Baby Inc.'s narrative changes. Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew. Led to studio closure due to poor commercial performance. Alan Wake 2. There was a small backlash for narrative change attributed to Sweet Baby Inc. And some sources are claiming commercial underperformance. And I believe that. I mean, there were a lot of other factors of that, but that was part of it. So player disengagement and conservative boycotts linked to the dissatisfaction with not only this game's narrative, but others. We perceive them as overly progressive, misaligned with our values. We're not going to buy it. In fact, we're not going to boycott them. Look, the progressive showed us how to boycott, and we're on top of it. You know, so despite Microsoft's marketing efforts, including positive media, mass media coverage, it contrasted with the actual results. So, this Sweet Baby Inc. seemed to be a recurring factor, doesn't it? And yet it continues to happen. Well, expect more of studio closures, sales beyond dirt. Expect everything bad if you associate yourself with Sweet Baby Inc. You know, South of Midnight's sharp player count decline underscores that. You combine, and part of that is because of the conservative boycott and narrative dissatisfaction. We make sure others know. And we have learned from being progressives. Game Pass plateau. Why subscriptions are stalling out? Okay, so U.S. spending on video game subscriptions, including Xbox Game Pass, have shown no growth since 2021, per an industry analysis. And some of the challenges for premium subscription services are to keep it from becoming stagnant in subscriptions. And why do I say that? Because kids age out. They go to college. Then from college, they'll go into the real world. They have families. They don't have time to pay a monthly fee for 300 games. They barely have time to play one. And if you only have time to play one, why pay a monthly subscription? That's how I look at it. I predicted this. It wasn't hard to predict that there would be no increase in U.S. video game subscriptions, and there hasn't been since 2021. Now, there are no specific numbers, but this is a feature that Xbox saw, then PlayStation wanted to jump on that bandwagon. Consumers, you know, it's showing it's a limited market. It's a market that ages out. And they're not getting the return with newer, younger audiences. Why? There's a lack of compelling and high-quality content. A lot of high-profile releases, such as Day One Game Pass titles, they've been nothing but a letdown. And it's not driving spending growth. Look, so overall U.S. video game spending is declining. Well, and they're getting ready to raise games to $80 a game. They're going to try to make it up with microtransactions. I guarantee you, with $2 billion cost to make, GTA 6 is going to be nothing but microtransaction after microtransaction. Mark my words. Oh, man. So what's the future outlook? Well, I don't think there is. I think this will be a fail. I think you're going to have it, but in a different format. This is just too many games. Technology has made it to make the beast high quality games from AA games. So I think this whole industry is in for massive changes. So the industry is encouraged to address the content quality. That's where it starts. Stop giving us woke garbage. Listen to what our preferences are, and maybe you'll stimulate market growth. But even then, I don't know. There you have it, my friends. The red, white, and rude main topics. I want to head on down now to what I call the rude rundown. And what the rude rundown is a lightning round. It's a lightning round where I look at stories that are current, and I give you my thoughts on it. So, Trump announces tariffs on foreign-produced films. So President Trump, he's talking about 100% tariff on foreign film production to bolster the U.S. movie industry. I don't know how that'll work. It's not like an actual physical good. So he's proposing that. It's still in the talking phases. But Cinema United CEO Michael O'Leary, who theaters have lost over $200 million the past year, believes it could help U.S. theaters. Maybe. But there's also concerns about increased ticket prices, limited film variety, woke movies. So there's no official response from the studios or anything of that nature. But they can't like this. But they've got to do something. The unions have really made making films here extremely expensive. Too expensive, to be quite honest. We'll wait and see what happens. But I don't think this gets past the brainstorming phase with the Trump administration. Tom Cruise faces questions over Trump's foreign film tariff proposal. Speaking of tariffs. So, Tom Cruise, seen as the last of the great stars, he's out promoting his latest film, his latest Mission Impossible film. I think it could be the last one in there. He was asked about the tariffs. What's your stance on Trump's 100% tariff? He quickly responded, let's talk about the movie. Best response you could give. See, what they're trying to go political. And if Tom Cruise had sat there and said, oh, no, it's bull bleep. Screw Trump, this or that. Boom. He would have lost half his audience. The last Mission Impossible movie did not make money. So he's got so much riding on this. His movies are beyond expensive. They blow up budgets. You know, you look at the most expensive budget, and Tom Cruise goes, hold my beer. You know, so he's got a lot riding on this, and he knows he can't get political. And how's he know this? Well, Top Gun Maverick, which is why there were so much high hopes for Dead Reckoning, the last one that came out, and it tanked. So I think Tom Cruise did what many actors should learn, shut your trap. You hear me, Rachel Ziegler? You hear me, Sean Penn? You hear me, Halle Berry? It's just a trail of dead movies that have been dead on arrival. And part of it's attributed because these actors and actresses can't keep their damn mouths shut. John Cleese deletes this tweet suggesting violence against Stephen Miller. So John Cleese, he's known for the Monty Python. He's 80 years old, so if you're under the age of 40, you don't know who the hell he is. So he deleted the tweet where he suggested suspending Miller by the neck in response to Miller talking about habeas corpus and suspending that for immigration issues. We got 20 million illegals here. My take is once you prove they're illegal, just ship them out. End of story. You're not a citizen. You're taking our jobs. You're killing. You're murdering. You're raping. I don't want you here. And 80% of Americans don't want you here. So John Cleese, a rich white bastard living in the UK, is here. is here in terms of telling us Americans what we need to do. I want you to understand something. Britain is overrun. There are areas in the UK you can't go into if you're not Muslim. Period. They will kill you. It's like Gaza, these areas. They are allowing Muslims, immigrants coming in to rape and murder women, mostly being white, and the government's refusing to do anything. They are finding the whites guilty for whatever reason, and they are letting the Muslims off. In fact, they were technically Muslim nations, and most of them are in Asia. Because when you think Asian, you think Korea, Japan, Vietnam, that. You don't think the Middle East. So the papers in working with the government have gone so far in terms of the UK to label them Asian men to hide the fact that they're Muslims. So, John, worry about your own damn country and not ours. We don't need your help, nor do we want it. We kicked your asses twice. Three times, maybe. Then saved it twice. Y'all are nobodies at this point. Nobodies. Stuart Lee avoids U.S. performance over arrest fear. So, a British comedian, staying with the U.K., Stuart Lee canceled the U.S. His U.S. shows, citing concerns about legal repercussions under Trump's administration. They put Lee, Stewart. The reason this is in the rundown, I never heard of this guy. But the reason they actually politically persecuted Trump and others for what you're accusing Trump of doing that he has not done. It has nothing to do with what Mahmoud Khalil said. It's everything to do with what the groups did. Violence, intimidation. They told, Columbia told the Jewish kids, your class is being done by Zoom. Why? Because they couldn't guarantee their safety. So, stop the lie, you little duck with the C. In fact, it's better that you stay home. Keep an eye on that hoe of yours. Make sure she's not out gallivanting around, which she probably would be if you were gone. I stand corrected. Bridget Lee, is that her name? Well, I think it's Bridget Christie. But it was Bridget Lee. Let me see here. Yeah, Bridget Christie divorced him. They got two kids together. My point is, dude, shut the bleep up. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're a moron and an idiot. You know, this reflects broader concerns, according to one analyst, among international artists. Well, stay the hell out of here then. If you're that stupid, which yes, Shaky Head, you are, then just stay the hell out of here. Maggie Gyllenhaal's daughter arrested at Columbia anti-Israel protest. The only reason the story's in here is because it's an actor's kid. You know, her daughter faces arrest during a violent anti-Israel protest meant to intimidate at Columbia University. Throw her ass in jail. She's Ramona Sarsgaard, daughter of Maggie Gyllenhaal and Peter Sarsgaard, was arrested when anti-Israel activists stormed the Columbia University library. The protests occurred because they were breaking the law. And even the university came out and said, no, you're breaking the law. We're calling the cops. They called the cops to arrest them. Good. Keep doing it. Look, it's a privilege to be in this country if you're not a citizen. You know, this due process and all that, that was meant for us citizens against a tyrannical government. We don't want you if you're anti-American. Why? We welcome those who want to believe in the flag, support our values, and are willing to assimilate and become our values. This woman here, she believes the U.S. is bad and Palestine is good. Go live over there in the Gaza Strip for a week and then come talk to me, you dumb little ignorant. Okay, como mi mamá dice que limpia, sabe limpiar tu fondillo primero antes que digano cómo vivir nuestra vida. It's like, learn how to wipe your tush before you come telling us how to live. Kanye West, Hail Heitler, Hitler song faces streaming platform bans. This blows my mind. It's like, what did this guy think? So he released a controversial song called Hail Hitler. It was a music video. And it was immediately pulled down from the streaming platforms. What'd you think, Kanye? Freedom of speech, fam. It's a private company. They can do what they want. Oh, man. So Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music banned the song for violating hate speech policies. Look, he has a history of being anti-Semitic. Twitch suspended his account after a 7-minute stream last month. You know, this guy, for all intents and purposes, is not done. He could really rehabilitate himself if he wanted. But, you know, they say he's bipolar and all that. I don't know. Maybe he's off his meds. Regardless, I just found that fascinating from the perspective. Are you that stupid? Yay. Do you not have any people in your wheelhouse that are going to go, yo, yay. No, I don't think that's the best move. So, let's close it out here with, oh, we got a couple stories left. Let's go back to The Last of Us. Bella Ramsey, she addresses the gender neutral and Emmy submission for The Last of Us. So, Bella Ramsey navigates her controversy over being gender neutral. That's what she claims to be. Looks like a dude, to be quite honest. Let me double check if that's who I'm thinking. Is that Bella Ramsey? Let's see. Copy. I'm not sure. Well, first of all, she doesn't look anything like the character, but worse, she claims to be gender neutral. Oh, I'm sorry, non-binary. But she supported HBO's decision to submit the performance as Ellie, as a woman. I don't know. Either way, it's like Hollywood's gone crazy. Yeah, they've gone crazy. But they submitted their performance. It's like it's her performance as Ellie in the gender neutral supporting actor category. She's a woman. I tell you, Russia, China, every country in the Middle East, including Israel, they're all laughing at us. They are all laughing. She's an embarrassment. And from what I understand, her acting isn't even that great in this role. But she got her fame from Game of Thrones, and that's given her some good coattails. But man, lady looks like a dude. I know that sounds mean. I'm just being factual when you look at her. You know, she was a cute little girl. It's like, and maybe it's the way they dress her. Maybe they're trying to do that on purpose. I don't know. I don't think you're going to see her in a rom-com anytime soon. Nintendo threatens to disable Switch 2 consoles for non-compliance. I put this story up here because Nintendo's, they're going to do remote disabling of consoles for customers they say violate the terms of service. A lot of freedom of speech issue, a lot of issues, legal issues here. They announced that Switch 2 consoles will be bricked, meaning inoperable if the users breach terms such as modding or using unauthorized software to protect intellectual property. This is going to hit the courts because somebody has a console. They can do whatever they want if it's for personal use. You know, so this is going to have some serious ramifications with U.S. law, and I don't see them bricking anybody. They may try it, then some lawyer is going to go class action, and boom. And they will lose here if there's any, I mean, I don't know if they'll lose, but they're going down a road, the hoe there, and this is a big brother. This is what they want. Amazon did it by taking away our book. If somebody bought a book, something changed, Amazon deleted it from the Kindle, your Kindle library. So there's a lot of backlash among gamers with fears it could limit user freedom and affect secondhand console purchases. And there you have it, my friends. There you have it. The Red, White, and Rude. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. And do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. Bookmark it. You can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, or Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. I hope you enjoy the show. Long day. I hope you didn't show with my energy. Try to be upbeat about it. Mother's Day, friends, family, you know. But I had to get this out. It's my job, and I love it. So I hope you enjoy the show. So until next week, my friends, I am William Del Pilar. For the Red, White, and Rude, and keep your head on a swivel, people, because you don't know where that woke movie game is coming from. Or it could be a yay song. but keep your eyes and ears peeled. Until next week, have a good one.